recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Well, he won a gold medal with a broken freaking neck. He's a real athlete, so give him your respect. He's got intensity, integrity, intelligence too. Oh, it's true, it's damn true. So if he ever finds you and you're chanting you suck, then he'll douse you in dairy with his big milk truck. And with one angle slam, he'll lay you out on the floor. So listen up, it's time to go. It's the Kurt Angle Show.
What is going on, ad-free shows fans? This is a very special bonus edition of the Kurt Angle Show with the man of the hour himself, Mr. Kurt Angle, the Olympic gold medalist. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well, John. How you doing, man?
Dude, I've told you at length, like, you're my guy. And when I get a chance to break down pro wrestling psychology with you, it's always going to be a good day for me. So this is going to be great. Because for this bonus episode, we're going to watch one of my favorite Kurt Angle matches ever. And that is WrestleMania 20 against the one and only Eddie Guerrero.
The legend, Eddie Guerrero, yes.
An absolute legend. We covered this match on your show. How much fun did you have going back and looking back at this pay-per-view?
Oh, it was so much fun. You know, Eddie was so talented. He had the best mind for the business. You know, he literally, you know, came up with so many great ideas for that match at WrestleMania. I have to give him most of the credit.
He's an icon for a lot of reasons, and absolutely, we're going to see that in this match. Now, when was the last time you watched this match back?
Oh, gosh. I would say probably 10 years ago.
Okay.
This is the first time since we reviewed it a couple months ago, I believe. It's in the archives now, but I didn't watch the match. So it's been about 10 years. I'm excited to look at to watch it again.
Well, that's awesome, because that's exactly what we're going to do, and we're not going to waste any more time. So if you want to join us on Peacock or wherever you get it, you can pull up the WrestleMania 20 match between Kurt and Eddie. I've got it ready to go right here. And let's take a listen into Michael Cole and Taz here as we get ready for your match.
All right, sounds good, John.
So I don't know if you remember this, Kurt. You were following up Victoria shaving Molly Holly's head.
I remember.
What do
poor
you think
Molly.
About that?
You know what, though?
It's almost like you've been there before.
Off, called Molly this.
It's almost like you've been there before.
Yes, with Edge a few years prior.
And here we got your entrance. This is the iconic Madison Square Garden, the third WrestleMania to this point held at MSG. But it's the first with that stage set up. Traditionally, they were out of the little corridor that is across from Hard Cam here. What did you think of the setup here at Madison Square Garden?
Oh, it was awesome. It was overwhelming. I absolutely loved it, especially during my entrance. All the flags and stuff was really cool looking.
Man, this is like Kurt Angle in his prime, WrestleMania 20. It doesn't get a whole lot more iconic than this. A year prior to this, you faced Brock Lesnar in a match where both of you end up injured coming out of it.
Yes, yes.
How does Kurt Angle feel physically at this point in his career?
I was doing okay at this point. The issue is I broke my neck yet again during this match. So it was a belly-to-belly suplex from the top rope. I landed on the back of my head, broke my neck again, and I was out for six more months.
Is it like a running gag at this point with you? Like,
You know what? It was just a streak of bad luck. I mean, I really believe the reason is because I really never let my neck heal entirely. I kept rushing back to get back to the show, and I should have just taken a good 6, 8, 12 months off instead of taking 6 weeks off and hurrying up back and ending up injuring my neck again.
I want to ask you about Eddie at this point. Eddie is in that period of time where he is transitioning from high mid-card guy to, all right, let's see if this guy can get a shot in the main event. Do you remember any conversations at the time from the higher-ups about giving Eddie that opportunity, and what did you think of it?
I didn't hear anything from the higher-ups, but you could see that they were going to do something with Eddie. From when he first came in, now, don't get me wrong, they kind of tore him down for a little while. They did that with all the WCW wrestlers when they first came in, even Chris Jericho, and I talked about that during his podcast. Yes. We had him as a guest. But yeah, Eddie, you know, they toyed with him for a little bit, and then after a while they started pushing him, and his talent really shined through. There was no way they could deny him an opportunity to be world champion because he was so damn good and he was really consistent.
And Eddie's one of those guys too, Kurt, that he had to go away for a little while after he got released the first time, got some help, got in a right mindset and a good place mentally and physically. And then he came back and he proved himself again. How was he received in the locker room?
Eddie was always loved. Everybody loved him because he was more of a, like a brother and a father to kids, you know. Rey Mysterio, he was like the second father Rey, you know, always wanted. And he was real fatherly in the locker room. He was a locker room leader without a doubt. Eddie Guerrero was that special.
Well, we got a little blood feud here leading up to this match. Things got really intense. He had won the championship about a month prior. Do you have any recollections of the night that he won the championship? How
it was crazy. It was in the Cow Palace in San Francisco, and there was a huge Hispanic following there. And Eddie Guerrero, obviously Latino, they went crazy. I mean, the roof blew off the joint. It was one of the loudest responses I've ever heard. The fans went absolutely nuts when he beat Brock Lesnar. Nobody expected it.
What did you think of the decision to put him over Brock?
Oh, I thought it was clever. I thought it was the perfect decision. Eddie was ready. He was primed. He wasn't going to get any better. And if anything, he was probably on his way of going downhill. Yeah. So he was in his prime, but, you know, he's getting near the end of his prime, and it was time to push him.
Man, look at the intensity of that lockup there. Just, that's Kurt Angle in his prime, right?
Stiff Kurt Angle.
Well, breaking down psychology here, what does an aggressive lockup like that set the tone for in a match?
I think it's really important, especially if the other wrestler doesn't really like stiff tie-ups. It gets them ready for the match. Like, it really wakes people up. So they might say, hey, loosen up. But, you know, I just actually woke him up and got him actually a little more ready than he was.
Was Eddie that kind of person?
Yeah, Eddie. Eddie would call you if you stiffed him. He, you know, he would yell at you right at that point, right? You know, right that second. So Eddie didn't like to be stiffed, and Eddie didn't stiff anybody either. He was very light.
Eddie, much like yourself, like maybe you're a little more aggressive and stiff per se, but you were so smooth at this time, and I always just feel like watching every Eddie match, everything is seamless and easy and smooth. He's right up there, man. In my opinion, among the best workers ever.
Oh, without a doubt. Eddie, I put him up there, and, you know, with Shawn Michaels, I would say Chris Benoit, Eddie's up there too. He's really that special. The kid he was born into the business, and you could see that. You could see him shining through, that he was a lifelong wrestler, and that his experience really came on strong.
You got a lot of smooth chain wrestling here. I like this. This allows the crowd to come up a little bit. I don't know if you remember, Kurt, but you had a pretty tough task. You guys were following not just that hair versus title match. You had a cluster of a fatal four-way for the tag team championship prior to that. And then the infamous Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar match that, boy, it stunk up MSG, and people were not into that. Do you remember going out there and feeling any sort of atmosphere from the audience?
Well, if anything, we had a sense of relief. We thought, well, at least we're not going to get booed that badly like Brock and Goldberg did. The reason they booed Brock and Goldberg out of the arena is because they both ended up quitting. And, you know, the fans are very loyal to their company, the WWE. So, you know, we knew that we were going to have a great match. We didn't have any concerns that the fans were going to boo us or sit on their hands. We knew they would get into the match.
But after this match, you have The Undertaker making his return as the Dead Man for the first time in years. And you have that iconic triple threat match between Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and Chris Benoit. So with you guys positioned in this spot on the card, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, we didn't have to worry. You know, Undertaker was after us. Triple H, Chris Benoit, and Shawn Michaels was after us. There's nothing to worry about. We're, you know, what do we have to worry about their match for? So,
no, I'm saying, like, are you trying to steal the show, knowing that those two?
Of course. I think everybody's trying to steal a show at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Even the opening card match, the second match on the card is trying to steal the show. Everybody is. The only problem is some of those matches don't get enough time to steal the show.
You're not kidding about that. And thankfully, you guys get a lot of time to work here. We got some great questions.
A lot of time. I believe it was like 25 to 30 minutes.
Yeah, you guys at the end of this match go 21:30. Okay. So that's a nice, healthy amount of time to be able to tell a story. And it felt right, too, as we're going to watch this. And you guys still haven't even gotten into the meat and bones of your match yet. This has been a lot of back and forth. What's the ideology here in having back and forth chain wrestling like this and not establishing momentum for either competitor yet?
Well, you want to take your time. You want to tell a good story. You want to show that one wrestler's out wrestling the other and the other's getting frustrated. It's all about storytelling and trying to frustrate the heel and have the baby face shine. And, you know, you're going to wrestle back and forth, but the majority of it's going to go to Eddie Guerrero, and I'm going to get pissed off and I'm going to cut him off for the heat. So it's a story that you continue to tell during the match.
Do you remember who the producer was for this?
I believe it might have either been Johnny Laurinaitis or Fit Finley. I can't remember. Mm. They're both incredible.
They are both. And I was going to ask you this because you have famously talked about it on your podcast, the WrestleMania 21 match the year after this with Sean. You guys like didn't prepare anything for that match, pretty much. You called in the ring for the most part, right?
No. Nobody calls it in the ring. Not WrestleMania. It's not going to happen. Well, maybe in the 1970s, but you know when it was a lot slower and more methodical. Now it's just too high paced.
So Shawn Michaels,
you can't just say do this, okay, and you know, and have them hit the ropes and they don't know what's going on. You have to pre-plan it. It's just too hard these days. I'd say from the late 90s on, you had to pre-plan the matches.
Gotcha.
Sean and I probably did 10% improvisation, 90% planned. The only difference with Sean is I never got in the ring with him to rehearse those.
That's more or less what
that's
I mean.
That's what you meant, right?
Yes. So what I mean by that is like, You're going out there, yes, you're putting the match together, but you're not running, you're trusting your instinct as professional wrestlers to be able to carry out your game plan for this match. How much of that did you do with Eddie?
I'd say 20% of it, we called it in the ring. And this is all the beginning, all called. I let Eddie actually lead the match. Eddie's really good at this stuff. Crazy to say, he's better than I am at this. Wow. And that's saying a lot. So I let him lead the match at this particular time, and he was great. It was really slow paced. I love the pace because we were able to pick it up later on and blow the roof off the joint eventually.
And it's important to keep in context here, Kurt. Like, this is only your fifth year in pro wrestling at this point. You're not even five full years in. No. Eddie's been in there for 20 plus years.
Yeah, and they say you don't really hit your prime till 8 or 9 years in. So I was only in it about 5 years, but I was, you know, I was in a very rare position.
Yes.
You know, I started out main eventing. So, you know, not many people can say that. I think the only other person is Ronda Rousey. I was shotgunned into the business and I had to learn quickly. If I didn't, it was either sink or swim.
Yeah.
And I had to continue to swim and I did.
Let's get to some questions from some of our top guys here for this. RJ wants to know, over all your matches in WWE and TNA, was Eddie the best in-ring worker you had the opportunity to work with? It's a big question there.
Oh, it's so hard to just pick one person to be the absolute best. I mean, I have to put him up there with Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, and I have to throw an AJ Styles in there. I'm sorry. That kid's incredible. Reminds me a lot of Eddie Guerrero. And not from a character perspective, but from an in-ring wrestling perspective, very identical.
But look how great this is, Kurt. Like the transitions you guys just had to get onto the outside. And what a great tease in getting the crowd here, right? You're going to deadlift German him to the outside. And all of a sudden, that's great. Like heel, heat, babyface trying to orchestrate a comeback. I love the storytelling there.
Yeah, and this was all Eddie. He really, you know, what's crazy right here. I forgot the spot. I was supposed to go over to the rail, and Eddie was supposed to jump and miss. I was supposed to move, and he's like, "What the hell are you doing? Go over to the side, to the railing, so I can hit the spot and get cut off." And I didn't remember. So this is the only flub in the match.
So now you just reset that up.
Now here it is. And this was really bad here. I was staring, I was looking at Eddie, and you know, for like 20 seconds before he actually jumped. And that was the only downfall of the match. That this spot right there was just not good.
But I watched this match back last night, and I never thought like, oh, that was an awkward moment. So
well, I knew the truth, and
yeah,
you know, when you know what's going on in the match, you're obviously going to look at that and criticize it.
But like sometimes that's very apparent, and you guys, I thought you covered for it really well, and
oh, Eddie did.
Eddie did, right? Right. So now we got the heel heat here. This is your classic pro wrestling match 101. Heel is going to take advantage of the babyface, that maybe some self sabotage. I'm curious, you're in the ring at this point. How are you feeling about how this match is going in front of this worldwide audience, the biggest stage of them all, hot crowd? You're
at this point?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Okay.
You know, I'm comfortable. I'm just getting myself ready for the comeback and the finish. And I was in great shape at this point in time. So I knew I wasn't going to blow up, and I knew Eddie wasn't going to blow up either. He was pretty consistent wrestling the past couple of years up until this point, and he was the world champion. So he's got a lot of matches underneath his belt. So I knew his conditioning would be great. We were ready for this match, and we were actually ready for the comeback and finish right here. I don't know if we started it yet, but I think we might have a false hope coming up. But eventually we're going to go into the comeback here.
How do you feel about the WWE Championship match not being the last match of the night?
That sucked. I'm not going to lie to you. Especially being a singles match, you know, triple threat matches traditionally don't go on last, but you can't deny that Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit, and Triple H had a pretty incredible match. So I think they did deserve to be on last. They proved it in that match. It was one of the best triple threat matches I've ever seen. But, you know, Eddie and I, we were the co-main event, but you're not really the main event unless you go on last. So it kind of sucked. It really did. I thought being a singles match, we would go on last, but unfortunately we didn't.
You don't have to get into specifics with me, but does that affect your payday as well?
I don't know. I mean, I will tell you this. I believe we got about the same amount of money as the triple threat match, all the wrestlers in that match. So I think we were okay with that.
Okay. That's good. Because that's so arbitrary if that were to affect your payday. So,
yeah, that would have sucked.
At the end of the day, that's what it's all about, right? As our friend Jim Ross says, cash and creative.
It's Benjamin's.
So you did, as you just said, good cutoff there on that. I asked that championship question because we have another question from one of our top guys, Brad. Kurt, you were one of the two world championship matches on the show. WWE is unifying this year. Do you think there are too many wrestlers for one major championship in wrestling, and how long do you think it lasts?
I'm old school. I think it should be one championship for one promotion. The only downfall to that is having one championship is you're going to hire less wrestlers. So less wrestlers will be unemployed or be employed. More wrestlers would end up getting fired because there'd be too many spots having only one title and one brand. So I agree that I do like the split brand because you do have more wrestlers getting more jobs and opportunity. But from an old school perspective, I liked only having one title. I really enjoyed being the only world champion when I was world champion. That was really cool.
And that allows you to accentuate the mid-card titles too.
Oh, yes, without a doubt. The mid-card titles become more important.
Dude, I'm not to cut you off there, but I just loved that sequence we just saw.
That's when I broke my neck.
That was it? So not on the actual throw, just on the teases leading up to it? That's when you broke it?
I didn't throw him there.
So you guys did not actually hit it yet. And this is what I love, because okay. I'm going to break it down for you. So you tease.
I wasn't looking when it happened.
You tease two spots that you're going to hit later in this match. You teased that you were going to do the overhead throw, but you didn't land it. And then Eddie teased that he was going to do the frog splash, but he didn't land it. Okay. I think that's such great layered storytelling.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Eddie and I, when we structured the match, we thought we should accent more of our main finishes, this frog splash and the belly to belly from the top rope, and make attempts and then eventually get it. You know, it's great psychology. The fans really blow the roof off the joint when you eventually get it.
It's all about the chase, right? They're all chasing for that moment. You got Nick Patrick yelling at you. What did you think of working with Nick Patrick? Did you like him?
Nick was great. He was really consistent. I loved having him in the ring. Very seldom has he ever messed up. He's a really consistent referee. He's a great ref.
Just 1997 Starcade, man. That's you can listen to Eric Bischoff's podcast for that one. Now, he was great in WWE, and he was great in the Invasion storyline. I loved him in the Invasion storyline.
Yeah, he played a big role in that.
Very big role in that. All right, look at this. Great resilience from Eddie. This is what you want to see out of a babyface, right?
Yes, the fire. He got a lot of fire and passion. That's what made him so great.
Oh,
it was real emotion, too. It was real. It came from inside of him.
And this is an awesome way, too, to just get right in a heel's face and cut them off a little bit, too. And here you go. Get out of the way. Into the corner. So smooth, Kurt. So smooth.
Yeah, Eddie was really special.
Continue here. I love
working with this kid.
How could
every time we did, we lit up the joint. It was just we got better and better every time we wrestled too.
So here's a question from Bryant: with your neck being in bad shape for this match, were there any spots or moments you wanted to do but couldn't?
Well, my neck wasn't that bad when it started, so I had every spot and every move that I wanted to do planned in the match. So I did end up doing everything I wanted. The problem is I ended up breaking my neck during this match. So it's kind of a tit for tat.
Kurt, every match I watch with you, like, I got concussed here. I broke my neck here.
I had bad luck with injuries. It plagued me my whole career. I just wonder how good I really would have been if I didn't have the injuries that plagued me.
You know, I think you did okay for yourself, man. You know, I didn't know the story. We talked about this on the Wives of Wrestling podcast. A great arm drag out of the angle slam there from Eddie. I did not know your Hall of Fame thing. The Hardy Boys stole your fireworks.
I didn't know that. Well, Vince told me you're going to have fireworks. They're going to be red, white, and blue. When you go out there, point your fingers toward the sky, and we're going to do the pyro and the fireworks. And I pointed my fingers, and nothing went off. So I did it again, and nothing went off again. I was like, oh, shit. So the next match was the Hardy Boys. I find out later Vince called an audible and decided he had fireworks for all the championship matches, but not the tag match. So he took my fireworks and gave it to the Hardys. So it's crazy. So they had all the red, white, and blue fireworks when he won.
That's so great. All right, let's get back here. So we're teasing the ankle lock. That's going to be a big part of the finish of this match. Again, you want to foreshadow a little bit. I like that. Oh,
Eddie perfect. Did a lot of foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. He was really good at that. It was really important to him because of the psychology of it, and that fans would get a better understanding of the match.
Well, because it makes fans want to anticipate a moment, right? Like, here it is. I think this is where you break your neck.
Yes, this is it.
Oh, ow. Yeah, you're slow to get up.
Yeah, I didn't know I broke it this particular time. After the match, I was in excruciating pain. My left arm went numb. I couldn't feel it. I could barely raise it. I lost a lot of strength in the left arm. And that's when you know your neck is messed up, was when you lose strength in your arms.
So is the adrenaline just pumping here?
I'm sorry?
The adrenaline's just pumping here, helping get
I was fine here. You know, there was a little sharp pain when I first did it, but I didn't feel anything till afterward.
Wow.
I'd imagine that
it's just an adrenaline rush.
Adrenaline. That's what I'm looking for. The word I'm looking for. Yes.
Yeah, that's what you had going here. And we're going into all these quick falsies here. I love this. Oh, dude.
Now, Eddie, I will tell you this, and not a lot of people know this. Eddie was in a car accident. Okay, this was like in 1998, 99. He broke his femur, his leg, and part of his hip, I guess. And it's always hobbled him for a long time. And he wasn't the same. Oh, that was a great deal. Dude,
they went nuts in the building for this. I'm going to put the auto up real quick for the near fall here because this is great. Listen how crazy they're going. Oh, Kurt, that's got to be the best feeling in the world when you've got them and you know you've got the crowd and they just, ugh.
You suck them in, yeah.
So Eddie wasn't 100% with his leg from that point on?
Nor was he ever 100%. Yeah. That's how good he was. Wow. When he broke his femur, he came back. There were things he just couldn't do anymore, but he worked around them. He figured out a way. He wasn't quite the lucha wrestler he was before he broke his leg, but he adjusted to the heavyweight style, and that was perfect timing for him because him breaking his leg forced him to start to wrestle heavyweight style.
Change
and
how you
look
work.
What happened. He ends up winning the world heavyweight title. So it was perfect. Right.
So here we go. We're going to start telegraphing this finish here. Do you remember who came up with this finish?
Eddie, 2 weeks prior to WrestleMania, we were at a hotel, I forget what city, and he walked up to me and said, listen, I have an idea for the finish. When he told me what he wanted to do, I said, Eddie, that's perfect for your character, and it also protects me because you kind of lied, cheated, and stole your win, and it keeps me, you know, from, you know, looking weak. And I said, this is a perfect finish. He said, do you think it's a great WrestleMania finish? I said, even better.
Because nobody else is ever going to do that. Exactly. Mitchell asked that one. And then Matt Godfrey wants to know, was there discussion about a different finish once you guys pitched that finish?
No discussion. We knew right then and there that that's what we were going to do. And Vince had no arguments about it. He thought it was brilliant.
So here we go. Let's set it up here. He's just in tons of pain. I use that in quotes because
you know what? He had to rehearse this a bunch of times to make sure his shoe would come off.
Kurt, that's what we did it in the
day, made sure it was okay.
And I love this. He goes, oh shit, as he sees you coming into the ring here. You pull off. Because Kurt, if this goes wrong, everything goes up in flames. If you can't get screwed. That shoe off, that's it, right?
But so we made sure we didn't screw up. I actually couldn't hold the ankle lock. I had to pull the boot off a little bit.
One, two, three. Oh, incredible. Crowd never saw it coming.
No, it was a great surprise finish.
Look at you, though. Your facials, man.
Eddie is a brilliant man, huh?
Your facials. Look at you. You're selling the shit out of this.
Yeah, it was. I felt like I got robbed. For real.
And Eddie's amazing.
I was like, what am I going to do with this shoe? I don't want to throw it in the crowd because he'll never get it back. So I threw it at him.
Look at that shit-eating grin on his face, though. It's just, oh, what a great finish. It's perfect for him. You're absolutely right.
It is perfect. Lie, cheat, and steal. Eddie Guerrero.
What do you remember feeling after that? You guys executed that finish exactly as you designed?
Oh, it was, we were on top of the world that night. You know, we went back to the WrestleMania party and we watched the match over again. And it was, Eddie and I were just hugging each other and congratulating each other on one of the greatest matches of all time. That's going to be in the top 20 greatest of all time, without a doubt.
Do you remember what Vince said to you guys after the match?
Oh, Vince loved it. He absolutely loved it, especially the finish. I don't even know if Vince knew about the finish before WrestleMania, before we had this match. The agent did, but I don't know if Vince knew. I think Vince was pretty surprised because he acted surprised when I saw him.
I thought that match was just superb. Both Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez gave it 4 stars. I think it's right up there. It's one of your all-time bests. Matt wants to know, this is a great question, was there any concern that the fans might react poorly to the loose boot finish and possibly even boot, considering this was a world title match at WrestleMania? You know, Kurt, the expectations are the grandiose big 1, 2, 3 with a big Mania title match, but that's not what we got here.
Well, I think that Eddie is a lot different than other wrestlers. I think that fans want to see him kind of cheat his way to the victory. So this was a great finish for him. This showed that he will lie, cheat, and steal his way to victory to be the champion. And I think that's the story we were trying to tell.
And Lenny also wants to know, was Kurt ever part of a match where the fans didn't react the way he expected, much like the Goldberg-Brock Lesnar match? And if so, how did you handle it?
You know what? Thank God I never had to deal with that. I never had a match where I said, oh man, that stunk the whole joint. And the fans absolutely hated it. There have been matches where fans wouldn't say anything and they kept quiet the whole match because we weren't able to get them behind the match, you know, from a psychological standpoint, but I never had them where they straight up just booed the shit out of me.
Yeah, I don't think you ever warranted that. All right, here's my last question for you, Kurt, before we wrap here on this great bonus episode. I'm going to give you three WrestleMania matches that you had, and I'm going to ask you to rank them for me, okay?
Okay.
This match, the Brock Lesnar match, and the Shawn Michaels match.
Oh, shit.
What's the best?
Shawn Michaels is first.
Okay.
With Shawn, not only did we steal the show at WrestleMania that year, we went like 8 minutes over. Okay. Shawn Michaels and Kurt Angle want to go 8 minutes over. Vince McMahon is
going to let him do it, right?
So, you know, we had a good solid 30, 32 minute match, and it was incredible from beginning to end. So was Eddie's match, but I have to say, Shawn, I enjoyed that match just a little bit more than Eddie. And I have to tell you that Brock Lesnar's match and Eddie's, it has to be a tie for second.
Okay.
I can't pick either one over the other.
I think for me, I'm going Shawn, Eddie, then Brock, only because the Brock finish, while you guys covered for it as well as you could, it still happened as what it was, you know? So you guys, this Eddie match, man, I always loved this match, but watching it back, I'm like, this is like an all-time great WrestleMania WWE Championship match.
It is. And it was a very basic match. There wasn't a lot of twists and turns. It was really solid, and it's one of those matches that when you do it, you're very proud to be a professional wrestler because these are the kind of matches you want to give the fans.
Well, let us know what you guys think, all of our top guys and top gals listening to this. Tweet at us. Let us know what you think is Kurt's best WrestleMania match, because I think this is right up there.
I'm curious to know as well.
Yeah. I mean, all three of those matches I said are all WrestleMania classics. So when you're asking for what the worst of the best is, you're in pretty good company, Kurt.
So, I guess you're right, John.
I had a lot of fun doing this with you, Kurt.
You too, John.
I look forward to doing it again in the future. I love watching your matches with you, and I'm glad that we got to talk about Eddie Guerrero, because he really is an all-time great. And the biggest shame, Kurt, is that I know Eddie would have still been contributing to the business today.
Yes, he would. He'd be involved in the business in one way or another, definitely.
That's a big
loss. It's in his blood, yes.
100%. But thank you again, Kurt. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this bonus episode. And we'll see you guys next time here on The Kurt Angle Show.